I would appreciate your prayers. Maybe I'll write my thought on the board. I'd like to talk about the eyes of faith this morning. This morning is the Lord's dealing with me. So I want to give you what I feel like the Lord's been helping me with, talking with me. We get into situations in life, and they come to us regularly of things that we look at and observe and don't know what to do about them or what to think about them sometimes. They can be very tough, and we look at them through our eyes, through our natural eyes, and we consciously or subconsciously will determine what the outcome of what we see is. This is the way it has to be. If you'll remember the story of Hezekiah, when Sennacherib came, he gave Hezekiah all the information, and the information that Hezekiah got and understood was that Sennacherib had got this great army assembled, and there was nobody that could withstand the might of Sennacherib's army, and they were conquering easily. As they went along, they was conquering easily, and he writes a letter and proclaims himself to Hezekiah, "Give yourself up. You see what's going on, and there's no reason for you to determine that anything can be different, because we are going right through this easily, and this is the outcome that must be observed. Nobody can doubt this. It seems so obvious." Another story in the scriptures I'm thinking about was where the children of Israel had come up to the banks of the Jordan, and God instructed Moses to send these spies into the land of Canaan. And so the spies go into the land of Canaan, and they go in and observe. They went to observe. It was the whole reason they went over there, was to observe what they was about to encounter. And so they went over and they looked at and observed, and they saw that the cities were walled. They saw that they were giants, big people. They were armed. They were a nation, strong nations. And they went and observed and saw that there was fruit. There was all of these things it was supposed to be. And they observed with their eyes, and they looked at themselves and said, "We are of this stature and of this. We don't have weapons, and we don't. This is who we are, and this is who they are." And observation of this and the determination of that observation, my reasoning is that there's no way that we can compete against that nation. And so when the spies came back, their observation had told them, all 12 of them saw the same things. Every one of them saw and said, "This is what we see." And 10 of them says then, "And this is the outcome. We can't take it. There's no way to do it. Obviously, we're going to use our wisdom here. We're going to determine what the outcome of this must be because of what we see." But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, saw the situation. They looked at saw the exact same information and looked at it with eyes of faith. They looked at this situation and they did not determine the same outcome was necessarily true as what the other ones had seen. They saw that there can be something different in the situation. And so I'd like for us to think about something that would be very valuable for us in our experience, our experiences with the Lord, is to be able to look at the situations of life through the eyes of faith. Not just looking at them through the eyes, our natural eyes. This is true. I don't think we should ever deny what the truth is, but we should accept the truth through eyes of faith. This is a situation that I, as a person, cannot change the outcome about. I always, Lord help me, I always look at the situation to see what I can do about it. And you do too. Unless you're, if you want to exempt yourself, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you, most of us, first thing is that what can I do with the situation at hand? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I want to say that many times, I think that the major discouragements of the Christian life comes through looking at things with our natural eyes instead of the eyes of faith. I think when we look at the situations that come and determine with that situation that this is the way that it's got to be, and there's nothing else that can be here but this situation, it would bring discouragement to our lives. You remember there was a situation where the prophet goes to a woman in the scripture, and the woman says that she has a little bit of meal in a barrel, and she has a little bit of oil in the cruse, and she has a couple sticks. She has a little bit of sticks. And her observation of this situation is that obviously I got a couple sticks to build a fire with, and I got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and I'm going to make a cake. Do you know that that was true? She had a little bit of sticks. She had a little bit of oil, and she had a little bit of a meal. That was an actual fact that anybody observing would see. But whether you look at it and determine what the outcome is what we look at it. Does it have to be, as she said, I'm going to make a cake for me and my son. We're going to eat this cake and we're going to die. So she took the information and processed it through the natural eyes, the natural determination of what has to happen. I don't see anything else that can happen or change this circumstance in life. But I want to encourage you today. Do you know through faith God can change any circumstance? He's taught us through faith that He can alter that. And I want to say, I think God is the master of changing circumstances, and if you don't want to see it, you don't have to. But God can change circumstances of life. And when we just look at it through the natural eye and determine this is what's going to happen. But the prophet comes by and she says, and the prophet says, make a man of God a cake first. And so she does that, looking through the natural. The prophet didn't look at the idea that there's only, or shame on him if he would have done that and took their cake. He wasn't just looking at it that way. He was looking at it that a God that was able to give the increase. You think of the situation out there when Jesus is out there with the population and he said, they're hungry. I don't want them to go away lest they faint. And so we need to feed. Well, what do we got to feed them with? 5,000. What do we got to feed them with? A couple fish and a couple loaves. My natural eye says that there's going to be a couple people get to eat, but most everybody's going to go away hungry because there's nothing you can do with that. Looking through our natural eyes, we'll see the outcomes that way always of what this determination has to be this way, and it can't be any other way than this. But I've seen God so many times where we looked at this situation. Well, I'll bring up Brother Jim again because it's a good example. Brother Jim had the cancer that came up on his face, and his doctor friend told him what that was going to end up like and what was going to happen through that. And he would know. He was a doctor. He's seen it and understood it and said, this is what's going to happen with you and doing all that. But it didn't. And why didn't it? Because God stopped it. Because God done something. That was not God's intention. God done something else with that situation than what the natural eyes would dictated that it should have done. And God has done that many, many times in our life. So I want to encourage us today to look at life through the eyes of faith. That this situation that I determine as bad, I can't help from determining it as bad. It's got all the earmarks of bad. Everything that's going to come from this must be bad in my mind. If we'll look at that through the eyes of faith, there is no way God planned that to be bad for you. No way. God planned that there's something good in there, and it will be found through the eyes of faith. If I can see through faith and know that God is able to do something with this, and it is, I'll be honest with you, it is a challenge in my life. I've been challenged with it. I feel like the Lord's been talking with me. If I could look through the eyes of faith more, I wouldn't be so discouraged about the things that happen. And it's what discourages me when I look at the situation and say, there's no answer. There's no answer for this. There's nothing that can be done. And the Lord is challenging me. If you look at it through the eyes of faith, you won't be discouraged by it. You can actually be encouraged by the things that's happening because God is able. Now, over here in the script, in Ezekiel, oh, there's a little children's song written about this. This is a kind of a common scripture over in 37 of Ezekiel. First verse says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Not just dry. This is a desert. They're completely gone. This signifies one of the most hopeless situations to change. How could you ever think that this possibly could change? This has went beyond the point of no return. You've heard of the point of no return. Well, this is to the point of no return. This is the place where it's dried completely up. There's nothing left in this situation. It's very dry. Been there a long, long, long time. If somebody falls over and dies, you can hope of resuscitation with them in a few minutes. You can hope. I heard recently of a boy that had fell in a pond in the ice. He broke through the ice, and he was revived after like 45 minutes or something of being under the water and stuff, but the chill of it and everything, and they got him out, and he had lived. And there's cases of that where there is a hope of our minds. There's a hope that I hope I didn't go too far, or I hope that somebody isn't in this certain kind of a place, or I hope that this isn't just beyond any change. Or we'll think sometimes of our loved ones that have turned the Lord down, or they're so far, it seems like his country's went so far away, or the community is so far gone, or my loved ones are so far away from salvation, and they've turned the Lord so far down. They're so dry in spirituality. There's something that, you know, that looking through the eyes is depressing. It can be very depressing in that. God is hopeful. God is hopeful. This is a very dry place. And the Lord didn't stop and say, there's no hope now because you have entered into this dry place. No, there's going to be streams in the desert. There's going to be something that can make alive again. If we look through the eyes of faith will see so much more hope than it'll give us hope for everything. Looking through the eyes of faith. I don't even know what the answer is a lot of times, but I know this through faith. God loves me. I don't know what else to say that's any more powerful to do something for me is to say that the God of the universe loves me and he cares for me and he has good intentions for me and an expected outcome for me, and whatever it looks like that is bad, my eyes of faith goes to the God that loves me and says he's going to do something. He's not going to let me perish in this situation. He's not going to let this be a bad situation. For all things really do work together for good to them that love the Lord. So here's a very dry valley. And it was very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? What a question. Think about the situations of your life today. Think about the things that come into your life. And think about the Lord saying to you, can this situation change? Can this situation change in your life? Can this relationship be restored? Boy, I don't know. This is the answer. This is Ezekiel. The Lord challenged Ezekiel here about what he understood of all of his life. If you walked up and seen skeletons laying on the ground that had been there for, dried completely up, and someone was to say to you, do you think that can ever be alive again? No, I don't think it can. There's no human reasoning that I have that ever puts that back together again. None. I have no concept in my mind of an ability to that or ever change from that. And so he's talking to God here. Ezekiel, can these live again? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. His human reasoning was no, but he couldn't answer no because he's talking to God. He couldn't understand that it could happen, but he can't say with God that it's not possible. Lord, you know what you can do. You know the eyes of faith will allow us to ascend all kind of places. It will allow us to have hope in so many places. God is the master of these things. And how many times in my life the Lord points this out to me, but what about this situation? And I'm saying, Lord, you fixed that without even hardly me even noticing it. I thought it was the end of everything. I thought it was had to be this way, and all of a sudden, I just thought that I had bad information. No, you didn't have bad information. I changed this in this situation. Can these bones live again? Thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, and an exceeding great army. Now, this, of course, was a vision. This was a position. God was talking, using this, talking about something else. Now, I believe God can literally do this, if that's what he wanted to do. But it wasn't what he was interested in doing. But what he was interested in doing was to restoring Israel back to life. And they had dried up spiritually to nothing. They had dried up until there was no remnants of anything good in there. They had completely dried up that anybody of understanding would have looked at and said, they're so steeped in idolatry and have went so far away from God that there is no hope for them anywhere in this whole thing. And God comes along and says to him, you see this valley of dry bones. God is still able to raise up an army here in this. So when we look at the situation of our land around us, the country's going, you know how it's going, all the things that happen, you can get discouraged and say, where is the salvation? Where is the people that care about the Lord? Where is these things? My own family's caught up into it, or this and this and this and this. You know, we need to look through this through the eyes of faith. God is able to put meat back on the bones. He's able to bring life back into these dry places, and he wants us to be able to be a part of it. He said to him, prophesy, O son of... Why didn't God just do it himself? You know, he doesn't work that way. He works in our lives. Thank the Lord to where it seems so dry and so impossible. That's where God makes it possible. That's where God can change the situations of our life. If I look at it through the natural eyes, there's no way that these bones can ever live again. There's no way that Israel's ever going to come back. There's no way that the United States is ever going to change its course. There's no way our neighborhood's going to change its course. There's no way that my family members are ever going to change their course. They've set their minds to do evil. That's all they're going to do. I can't see it any. They're so headlong to do these things and all of this. And the Lord's going to say, stop. And start looking through the eyes of faith. For I can do what you, I can put something in the equation that you don't even know about. I know how to alter and change the people of people's lives. There's another scripture I want to look at in Isaiah, the 51st couple verses here, 51st chapter of Isaiah. It says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Now we quote that scripture a lot of times about that it's profitable for us to look back. I know my life of sin and what I lived and all of that, and it is profitable for me to be able to look back and see what God brought me from. It makes me thankful to think about what I could have done in my life and where I could have went and what the path of my life was and what God changed me from. I can get very thankful for what God has done in the life that I have now. This scripture is very valuable in that way. But read these second, the next verse. Look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. But the idea we had about Abraham in Sunday school this morning and about the father of the faith, and Sarah's situation here. What this scripture is talking about to Israel was to look and acknowledge this. You're here. Your actual being here was impossible. It is impossible that you were here because you're a descendant of Sarah and she could not have a child. She was barren and she couldn't have a child. So there is no way that you are to be here. So look back at the barrenness. You should look back at this barren place and realize that you are here by a miracle. You are here by the divine purpose of God. God has divinely put you here. And so you have a purpose You have a purpose of God to even be here. Your whole life is a purpose. The life of Israel as a nation is purposed through Sarah's barren womb that he gave a child to. That he says, you are the people of promise. Do you know that we now are the people of promise? We are here, listen, being here today, being saved and being able to claim salvation is a miracle. If God brought us to this place, he's not going to abandon us. This is the purpose of this scripture. God is not going to abandon Israel that he by miracle brought. God, you that seek righteousness and are looking for God and doing that, know this. Have this great hope in you that God and the circumstances, yeah, you're going to face a giant, but you're going to win. Yeah, you're going to face sicknesses and diseases. You're going to win. God purposed you through Sarah by miracle. You're here by miracle. Take courage that you're here by miracle, and he's not going to leave you now. We're here by miracle. God saved us and brought us to this place. You think that he would leave us now? You know, eyes of faith will take the circumstances different than the natural eyes will. We'll determine different things. We'll look at it and say, this will destroy me. The eyes of faith will say, this is going to make me stronger. This is going to say, this is going to ruin me. And the eyes of faith will say, this is going to draw me closer to God. This is going to get me closer to heaven than I've ever been to before. This is to say, this is going to destroy my life. This other part of the eyes of faith will say, this is going to strengthen my relationships. This is going to strengthen my prayer life. This is going to strengthen me in this through the eyes of faith. It can all be seen for the good that God intended for it. But we've got to look at it through the eyes of faith. Being able to look beyond to say, what is God's purpose? I would be willing to say that most every one of us, we've got a week ahead of us coming. You got a week ahead of you, you're going to face something. Most everybody's going to face some kind of a challenge this week of some kind. We should look at it through the eyes of faith. Lord, what are you intending to do with this situation? Now, I'm talking big, but I'm going to tell you, this is a challenge to me. Honestly, this is a challenge to me to get to the place that I can look at it through the eyes of faith. We got one of the songs, maybe 284 in a book, The Virtue of Faith, that says something about looking at it through the eyes, Lord, help me, that's a song. Yeah, that's part of it. But it says something in that song about I lift up my eyes in faith, or I look to faith. My faith ascends to thee. Instead of the natural, looking at the natural. The natural is going to have a certain thing. But Lord, I look past that and look in my faith ascends to thee. When I see the darkened sky, the brazen sky, the darkest night and brazen sky, when I see the discouragement of these things that happen in life, when I one song says, when I thought I needed sunshine, the Lord sent a rain. Well, that's discouraging, except for the eyes of faith. But the eyes of faith changes that circumstances, and I see it so much differently. I thought I needed healing, but I had my share of pain. But my eyes of faith are saying, thank you, Lord, that you've stirred my life. Thank you that I can see beyond this and see what the benefit that you really have for me in this. I think if we only look through our eyes, we're destined for discouragement. We're destined to be depressed and discouraged with a hopeless feeling about it, wondering if I'm going to tell you, God can change the circumstances, but he don't always. He don't always change the circumstance. Faith, we arise above it through faith. I can rise above that in faith. I can say that, yes, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't get his answer the question answered, or his prayer answered the way he wanted to. He prayed, "Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh. Remove it." His prayer request to God was to pull the thorn out. This is aggravating. It's a hindering, whatever, a thorn in the flesh. He said he prayed three times that the Lord would remove this, but the Lord didn't remove it. As a matter of fact, the Lord was intent on not removing it. The Lord actually said, "Paul, this is good for you. I'm going to leave you with the thorn in my grace is sufficient for you." You know when Paul got a hold of the idea? Through faith. Through his eyes of faith, when he got a hold of the idea that the thorn in the flesh was going to make him a better apostle, a better preacher, it was going to make him a better servant of God, it was going to give him a grace beyond anything that he had, he could fulfill the work. He said, "I most gladly, therefore, most gladly, I thank God for this, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. God is actually making me stronger through a weakness that I have." You can't go to those kind of places if you don't look through the eyes of faith. The higher places of Christianity is seen through the eyes of faith. You'll never get there through natural eyes. You'll have to see it through this to be able to say that suffering is good. You'll have to have eyes of faith. To be able to see the negative things of life is possibly good, you're going to have eyes of faith. It doesn't come easy. But those that had the eyes of faith was able to see over that, was able to ascend much higher up in their Christian life, because they saw something that was valuable in that. They saw the purpose of God in that. I think many, many people have been saved because of the faithfulness of someone else. And they have demonstrated in, you know, anybody can shout when you're on the mountaintop. But when you can portray Christ in the middle of the crisis, when you can show love in the middle of the crisis, when you can be, like, through faith, be able to see that, then there is something that is winning about that. There is something that people are drawn to that. What do they have? How did they get that? I want to be able to face life's difficulties that way. How did they get that? They get that through the eyes of faith. You get that through being able to realize that God is really in this. Who wouldn't want something the best that they can get it? We all want that. But it's such a contrary place between the flesh and the spirit. It's such a contrary place. And we'll look at it always through these eyes of the flesh to say that if there is no way that losing my job can be good. Oh, can it? No, it can't be. Unless you look through the eyes of faith that God has got something better than that. I don't see how pain can be a plus. That's a negative. Unless you look at it through the eyes of faith and say, "Lord, what do you have for me in this?" All these situations, Lord, help us. God can do something about all of them. There is a natural tendency, of course, to get, I do it, I get my logics together, and I look at the situations, and I logically determine that this has to be the answer to this. And faith erases it. Faith can erase that all and say, "Lord, can do something different with this." And this can be the testimony that I want in my life. I not necessarily choose those kind of places, but God can work those in our lives. Thank the Lord for that. I want to look at one more passage of Scripture in Luke. Oh, let's see. Luke. I think it's Luke 8. I'll go see Luke 26. 8 and 26 of Luke. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Then he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For I had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devils into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What would you think? What do you think they would have thought? The people of the country, what do you think they would have thought if you'd have went and advertised to them that there's somebody that's going to come to take care of this man up there in the tombs? Natural reasoning would have been this way. He's been this way a long time. He can break chains. We've tried everything humanly possible to deal with this situation. This is a totally possessed, out of there. It is hopeless. It would be almost impossible to believe, to think and reason that someone can come and do anything about that situation. And naturally, it was true. What could have done anything with Legion? What solution would you had for drugs? Pumping full of drugs? Downers? Get a strong cage, put him in? I mean, extinguish him? I mean, what is the human reasoning process here of what you could do with Legion? I would be at a loss. I don't know what to do with the lesions. I don't know what to do about those situations through natural eyes, but through the eyes of faith. Oh, the God that created the universe can take care of my little old life. The God that that split the Red Sea, the God that made the walls of Jericho fall down, can make my troubles fall down too. He can split open a path where there's no path for me too. This is the God. The examples of the Bible was given to us to have eyes of faith with. The reason why there's three Hebrew children in the fire walking around is that our eyes of faith can say, when I hit those troubles, he's my God too. I can have faith because there was a man that was faithful to God that was thrown into a lion's den of hungry lions, and they did not eat him. And my faith can say that seems impossible. That seems impossible that the lions wouldn't eat him. But they didn't. And my faith can say I can go in to the bottom of the den too. I can face the fire of the furnace too. I can go through those things too, because if God helped them, God can help me too through the eyes of faith. That's what the examples of the scriptures was given to us for. When I don't have anything to pay with, Jesus said, go get the fish. There's a coin in its mouth. Where does it come from? I don't have to know. God can produce something when the meal barrel is about dry. It doesn't run out. Those things of faith was given to us so that we can have eyes of faith, so we can anchor onto that God is able to take care of our life too. There's a scripture that talks about with faith you can move the mountain. True. But God isn't interested in us moving ram's horn. He don't want us to move in Snowshoe Mountain. That's not the mountains God's intended for us to think about. Faith can move the mountain. The mountains of doubt. Faith can move the mountains of fear. It can move the mountains, the obstacles that keep us from a relationship vibrant with Him. Faith can remove those. It can remove us from not being the mountain that keeps me from functioning in my Christian walk. Faith can move those mountains. Jesus goes to the land of the Gadarenes. Can this man, he could say unto them that there, can this man be normal again? I think the disciples would have said, thou knowest, Lord. I don't think they would have said, I think it has said, Lord, thou knowest. It doesn't seem possible to me that this man can be sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Totally changed and back to a normal person. But God can do that. And through eyes of faith, we have to believe that if Jesus did that for the most hideous man in the scripture, he had so many bad spirits, he was called Legion. I don't know how many more you can have. But it sounded like he had them all. And it's purposed this way. If he can do that for this man Legion, he can take care of my bad attitude. He can take care of the spirit of unbelief and doubt. And he can take care of all those things too if I can look through the eyes of faith. Lord, help us today to look at these things through the eyes of faith, not what we can do, but what God's capable of doing. That when I have faced the giants of my life instead of like David, you know, David was the only one that saw Goliath in faith. He looked through the eyes of faith when he saw him. He did not look through natural eyes because all the natural eyes was saying, David, you're going to get crushed like a bug. But David looked through the eyes of faith and said, no, God's well able to bring this uncircumcised giant down. And that's what he's going to do. And through those eyes, I don't think David went down there with the idea that he was a great marksman and he was going to do it on his own. He went down there saying that the Spirit of the Lord will take care of this situation. And he looked through the eyes of faith. Lord, help us. You pray for me.